thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Folks, we're going to look at a message this morning, and so appropriate, William, what you shared around the table about coming into freedom. Really, really fitting to lead us into that. Miracles in the wilderness. And we want to have a wee look this morning at a journey that the children of Israel took, and perhaps many of us have taken or are still taking at the moment, a journey that is leading from bondage to blessing. You see, there are miracles in the storm, and there are miracles in the street. There are miracles in the tomb, and there are miracles in the home, and there are miracles in the church. But we're going to look this morning at some miracles in the wilderness. But before we do, I want us to consider just a few folk who find themselves in a wilderness. As many of you know, we were in England the week before last at Elam Leaders Summit. It is the General Elam Conference that is pastors and leaders that we go to. A really beautiful time. If you caught any of the services online on YouTube, that's great. If not, you can still pick them up. Just go to Elam Pentecostal Church's website and you'll get the link. And I would encourage you to do that, actually. But when we were there, Esther and I, on the last day of the Thursday, we met a young couple who we had actually met the previous year but hadn't really much time to speak with them. And so we connected with them again. I didn't know the girl's story. The girl's called Alicia, and her husband is called Samuel. Samuel came over from Monaghan. Prior to that, him and his family had come from South Africa, but they'd fellowshipped in our Monaghan church. In fact, his family still do. Samuel went over to study at, I was going to call it Elam Bible College. You would know that, Johnny, but it's called Regents Theological College, and that's where he met Alicia. Alicia is a girl who, by her own admission, is a gypsy. She comes from a gypsy family, hails from the Blackpool area, and her uncle is a pastor in Northampton, and all of the family within that circle are all pastors. And so we got talking to this girl, and it was just incredible to hear her story. Of course, being part of the travelling community didn't settle for very long in many places, and so her formal education finished at year 8, which I imagine is around maybe 12 or 13 years of age. And so that was the height of her formal education. And so through family members, she came to know the Lord, she got saved, and she felt that the Lord was calling her to Bible college. But the first thing that she had to do before she could enter into Bible college was to get some GCSE, so she was encouraged to do that. So she went and she inquired about getting these exams, and the course instructor said to her, "That's fine, but could you tell me please what books you have read? She says, "Yeah, I have read one book, at Cheryl Cole's autobiography." And the course instructor said, "You're going to fail this course. You are not going to get these GCSEs." But of course, she proved the person wrong. She got the GCSEs that were necessary. She went to Regents Theological College and she came out with a degree. And she now is a pastor. Both her and her husband are pastors over in England. You see, there were miracles in her wilderness. God still works miracles in the wilderness. I want us to go on a little journey this morning from the land of slavery to the land promised by God as we follow the children of Israel, and perhaps we might even see ourselves in this journey from bondage to blessing as we witness miracle after miracle in the wilderness. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to jump into the story after Moses had led the children of Israel from Egypt. They'd been in the wilderness a number of days, in fact several weeks at this point in time, and then they find themselves just at the Red Sea. They find themselves with the Red Sea as a barrier on one side and the ensuing army of Pharaoh and the Egyptians behind them. So we're going to pick up the story in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor, over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And then the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and thus it was a cloud and darkness to one, and it gave light by night to the other, and so that the one did not come near the other all night. How's that for protection? You've got the Red Sea on one side. You've got the Egyptians, the army, coming after you to destroy you. And the pillar and the presence of God, the angel of God, moves from leading the children of Israel. He could only lead them as far as the Red Sea at that point. Actually came and became a barrier between the ensuing army and the children of Israel. Verse 21, Moses then stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. And so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all of the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not as much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Of course, there were two miracles that were wrought that day. Not only were the waters parted and became a wall on each side, but it became dry land. The ground that would have been soaking wet became dry land for the children of Israel. Flip over, please, to chapter 15. We're going to read a few more verses, and we're going to pick it up again in verse 19. Exodus 15, 19, "For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and the horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.'" Verse 22. "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and so they camped there by the waters. And so, folks, we're going to go on this journey this morning. And, of course, where does the journey start? It always has a starting point. We'll call it day zero just for the sake of it. Of course, we know of Egypt as that place of bondage. If you do have your Bible open and you want to just refer backward and forward as we go through the different points, of course, you will find that story develops from chapter 1 to chapter 13. You know the story as well as I do. 413 years earlier, Joseph, who was the stargazing teenager, the dreamer, the young guy with the big mouth and the bright coat, he gets thrown into a pit by his brothers. Gets thrown into a pit, and for Joseph, that begins his 13-year journey of going from bondage to blessing, from the pit to the palace, and that was his 13 years of his own personal miracles in his own personal wilderness. Of course, Joseph, after he is given a prominent position within the government, the second only to Pharaoh and rules, you know the story where his father and all of the family then eventually come because of the famine in Canaan, 70 people in all, 70 persons in all. And then Joseph, of course, dies. And the story tells us, the storyteller tells us that another Pharaoh began to rule, one who didn't know Joseph. And the children of Israel began to multiply and they were put into bondage. They were put into slavery. And so we see 400 years, we see 4 centuries of back-breaking slavery begins for the children of Israel, for that special nation that God had chosen for himself. We were singing earlier, weren't we, about standing on holy ground, and it made me think of that time when God called Moses. It was the burning bush. You know it very well, I'm sure. It burned, and yet it was not consumed. It was holy ground. It was holy ground because the presence of the Lord was there. You see, Moses, God had to get Moses' attention, and sometimes he's to get our attention as well. And so he got the attention of Moses, and he called him to lead the people from bondage to blessing. Maybe for someone here this morning, you're still at that point in your journey where perhaps you're not set free. You're still living in bondage. You're living in a position where you're held captive by the enemy of your soul. And of course, that can change today. That can all change today. You can change today. There can be breakthrough in your life, even this morning, by surrendering your life to the Lord. And then, of course, as we were reading then, we come to the Red Sea. This is day 25. Day 25 in their journey. And this is a place of breakthrough. If Egypt was a place of bondage, then we see that the Red Sea is a place of breakthrough. And again, you'll see that in Exodus 14 in verse 21. Moses and his staff. Moses had this staff in his hand. Of course, what did God say to Moses when he called him at the burning bush? You know it so well. You've heard many a sermon on it. What is that in your hand? What do you have at your disposal? What is that in your hand? God can use what we have. God wants to use what we have, no matter how big or how small or how insignificant we might think it would be. And there again, God calls Moses to part the Red Sea by picking up his staff and dividing the waters. He picks up his rod and he stretches it over the Red Sea, first of all to part it so that the children of Israel can have safe passage, and drying the ground. They walked on dry ground, as I said, was a miracle in its own right. And then, of course, that was during the night, and the next morning, as the Egyptians had gone in to pursue them, then God said to Moses, "Now's the time, stretch out your arm, stretch out your rod, and the waters will recede." And that's exactly what happened. The waters receded. You see, it was 10 chapters earlier in Exodus 4 when God had called Moses, that simple everyday staff, that rod that he had used to shepherd the sheep for the previous 40 years. Maybe God is saying to somebody this morning, what is that in your hand? What do you have? What are your talents? What are your abilities? Are you using them for the Lord? Are you using them for the kingdom? Maybe God's saying to someone else this morning, someone who loves the Lord, but it's just been really tough at the moment. Well, he touched on that this morning. And it is challenging, isn't it? Because, you know, we are called to freedom as Christians. We are freed. And yet, quite often, we don't really walk in that freedom that we should. Sometimes that's our own fault. Sometimes that's because we have maybe made choices, or we've made decisions that are not wholesome or not right. And sometimes it's life, and sometimes it's the journey that we're on. Sometimes it's just the Christian journey that we're on, that it is tough going at times. And perhaps for some this morning, you need to know that breakthrough is coming. You need to know that there is a miracle in your wilderness, that breakthrough is coming, that you need to keep trusting in the power of Almighty God. And then as the Israelites journey on, we see that within one day it takes them 3 days later, it takes them to Mara. They had been walking for 3 days from the Red Sea to Mara, this place of bitterness. Mara, when it's translated, means that exact thing. It means bitterness. And so we see in Exodus 15 and 23, we see that they end up in this place called Mara, and they thought that it was going to be a source or an income of fresh water. And it absolutely wasn't. It was a bitter place. The water was poisoned. But Mara is a place where God turned the bitterness into sweetness. You see, he turns something that's toxic and undrinkable into something that's pure and into something that's palatable. The tree, we read the story of the tree that was thrown into the water, and the tree represents healing. It was the miracle of God bringing healing and bringing purity. Now, we could go down the root of the tree and we could expand that into the cross, that there's healing in the cross and one thing or another, and perhaps that's for another day. But it was the fact that Moses was commanded by God to take this tree and to throw it into the midst of the water. It was his obedience to God's command. And of course, then we know that the water was purified. The water was palatable. It was they were able to drink it and they got sustenance. And so the point really that Scripture's making here is that there is healing from bitterness. There is healing from something that's toxic. Maybe for someone here this morning, you need to be healed of some bitterness. You need your bitterness to be transformed into sweetness. It's very easy to carry bitterness. It's very easy to carry a grudge. It's very easy to carry something. If we're all being very honest, and we wouldn't want it to be put up on the screen, if we're all been very honest, and I have to admit it myself, there are times when I have had bitterness in my heart, even as a Christian. There are times, even as a Christian, I have held a grudge. And it's not a good thing. And it has to be dealt with. And thank God I have dealt with those things in my life. But it's a continual journey that we need to walk on. And so for somebody perhaps this morning, maybe there's something in your heart And you need to bring it to God, and you need to lay it at his feet and say, Lord, there's something just that's not right. There's a bitterness in my heart. And Lord, I want you to turn it into sweetness. And if that means forgiving somebody, if it means going to somebody, as Scripture exhorts us to do, well then, that's what we need to do. Perhaps for somebody, you need to let go. For someone else, you maybe need to forgive. And then we see that the journey takes them the next day, day 29, they end up in Elim. There's a wonderful book that is written by Maldwyn Jones. Maldwyn is the Elim historian. He's an absolute character. I think Wesley knows him well, and he's written the first and then the second volume of Coming to Elim, about the history of Elim. And of course, we find in Exodus 15 and 27, that's where they come to this place called Elim that has 12 wells of water and it has 70 palm trees. And of course, at this part of their journey, this speaks of refreshment. It speaks of bounty. It's a place of bounty. It's a place of plenty. It's a place of provision where there is food and there is water and there is shade. For those weary travelers in the wilderness, in the desert, where there's nothing to shade them from the sun, there's water, there's food, and there's shade. You see, it's a dry and a barren place, the wilderness, isn't it? But we can be blessed with bounty in our wilderness. We can be blessed with bounty in the journey, even though at times we feel that we are in the wilderness. And of course, as an Elim Pentecostal church here, this is our heritage. Elim is our name, the name of our movement. And it's derived from this verse in Exodus. It's our heritage. And we believe that Elim is a place of bounty. We believe it's a place of provision. We believe it's a place of refreshment for the weary traveler. The 12 wells of water in Scripture represented the 12 tribes of Israel. The 70 palm trees could well represent the family of Jacob, the 70 people in all who came from Israel right down to Egypt during the time of the famine. You see, miracles can still happen in the wilderness of our lives. Elim became a refuge for the children of Israel. This oasis, this place where there was water and there was food and there was shade, there was provision, there was protection, there was refreshment. And with all our hearts, we want Ballymoney Elim to be that oasis for you. We want here, this place here, to be your church family where you feel welcomed, you feel part of it, you feel rooted and grounded, you feel protected and you feel safe, and you feel that you've got relationships with people, that you've got a family here, a spiritual family who cares for you, who will pray for you when the need arises, where you will get sustenance and you will get shade and you will get watered and you will get fed spiritually. And that's our prayer as the leadership, and I know it's the heart of the congregation here, that anyone who comes in here and feels that this should be your spiritual home, that you will feel refreshed, that you will feel that you are protected here, that you feel that you are safe, that you feel that your journey, and we're all on a journey, that your journey from bondage to blessing, that you will have bounty, a bountiful experience that the Lord will pour into your life while you fellowship here with us. And our last point this morning, of course, the journey took them to the promised land. I don't know if you ever worked it out, but I worked it out and checked it a couple of times. The journey from bondage to blessing seemed to take 14,600 days, 40 years. And there was absolutely no need for the children of Israel to wander round and round and round in circles like Groundhog Day, because they were full of bitterness, they were full of complaints, they were full of moaning and groaning. They didn't arrive in the place of blessing for 40 years. conscious of time here, folks, and we want to honour our time to try and get finished here for 12:15. But please turn with me, please, just for a quick moment to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to pick the story up again just whenever God starts to speak to Moses. Moses has been promoted to leading the children of Israel. Joshua chapter 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you shall observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Folks, you can put your name into that passage. As God spoke to Joshua, he speaks to you and me today, and he speaks courage and he speaks strength into our hearts. Of the 2 million Jews who fled the bondage of Egypt, they reckoned that there was only two people who crossed into the promised land, and that was, of course, Joshua and Caleb. See, God turns bondage into blessing. The promised land is a paradox, in a sense. The promised land is a picture of our salvation. We are saved, and we have the blessing now of our rich salvation. We are living in that. That's our experience from day to day. And yet, one day in the future, we will enter our glorious home and the eternal blessings of everlasting life with our Lord and with our Savior. Just as we try and wrap the message up this morning, the Roman god Janus, where we get our month of January from, has two faces, one that looked forward and the other that looked back. And just leading on from that, you'll know that cars have a windscreen and they have a rear view mirror. Does a bus have a rear view mirror too, Mark? It does. Okay, there you go. And so there's a reason why the windscreen is much bigger than the rear view mirror. You see, we're not meant to look back. We're not meant to go back. We're only meant to glimpse. It's only good to look back when it's a glimpse, not a gaze. I'll repeat that. It's only good to look back if it's a glimpse, not a gaze. A glimpse is a momentary view, whereas a gaze is a steady and an intent look. If you're looking back over your life, make sure that it's only a glimpse. Make sure it's only momentary. Make sure it's not a gaze. As you'd probably be aware, most of you, I'm sharing my testimony tonight. And if you're able to come out, I would really love your company. I'd love your support. Trying to rent a crowd here at the moment, of course. Trying to just put it out there. If you're able to come, we would love your company. I've just felt that now is the right time to share my story and my journey with you. And tonight, of course, I will be looking back, because that's what we do when we share our story, because we've got to look back. We've got to look back and we've got to thank God for what he's done in our lives. And we've got to share the tough times as well as the good times, because that's often what a journey is about. But it's a glimpse. It's a glimpse rather than a gaze. Let's only glimpse back at our lives, like looking in the rear view mirror, just a wee glimpse to make sure that we're okay. While our focus should be us gazing through the windscreen in the excitement and the anticipation of what God wants to do in the future, in and through us. And so as I wrap this up this morning so that you can enjoy your hot chocolate and your big slice of cake that Florence has provided, only joking, sorry to build you up there, I think it's a cuppa and a bicky. But know for sure as we finish this morning that he is a miracle working God, that he turns graves into gardens, he turns seas into highways, he turns mourning into dancing, he turns ashes into beauty, he turns bitterness into sweetness, he turns bondage into blessing, and he turns slavery into freedom. He turns our wilderness into miracles. And folks, you might be facing a Goliath this morning. Don't worry if you're facing a Goliath. People said that Goliath was too big to fight. David said he's too big to miss. Yeah? You see, God was in the battle with him. Goliaths fall down when God takes charge of the battle. Seas part when God tells them to, and miracles happen because God is in the wilderness every step of the way, every day of our lives. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need transformed from bondage to blessing, if you need a miracle in your family or your circumstances or whatever it is, I'm just going to pray very briefly for a moment. If that's your situation as I pray, just you look to the Lord. Whatever that may be for, whoever that may be for, as we pray, will you give it over to the Lord? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your inspired word this morning. Lord, we thank you for William leading us round the table and encouraging us that we should be walking in freedom. And yet, Lord, honest enough to say that it's not always easy to walk the journey of the Christian faith in complete freedom. And so, Lord, I would pray that in all of our lives, Lord, if there's anything that we need to give up, if there's anything that we need to give over to you, if there's anything that we need to do, if we need to approach somebody, if we need to ask for somebody's forgiveness, if we need to ask you to take that bitterness out of our hearts, Lord, that doubt out of our hearts, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, if there's anything that is a barrier to the blessing in our lives, Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to hand it over to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, from the leadership and everyone within the church family here in Ballymoney, Lord, I pray that there would be nothing in any of our lives that would hinder the blessing and the bounty and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we pray for salvation. We pray for healing. Lord, we pray for restoration. Lord, we pray for us all to walk, Lord, in freedom, knowing that Christ has died to give us freedom. So, Lord, I pray that in each one of our lives, Lord, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would take us and use us. Lord, it mightn't be very much, but Lord, you see what's in our hands? Lord, please take them. And please use them for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.